This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is Kurt Blades. Kurt is with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers and will join us here in just a few moments. First off, let's talk about USDA accepting continuous CRP applications. Now, Zach Ducheneau is the administrator for the USDA Farm Service Agency, explains one way it differs from a general CRP.
Producers don't have to compete. It's not the same competitive bidding process as the regular general sign-up. As long as we are within our statutory acre limitations and there's available funding, producers can come in there. And if they rank high enough against those resource concerns, their land can be enrolled.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kurt Blades. Kurt is Senior Vice President with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me on today, Tony.
Okay, let's first start Association of Equipment Manufacturers. As we start off a new year, maybe some who don't know who AEM is and your ties back to the ag industry. What's the elevator speech?
Well, AEM is the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. We represent over 1,000 non-road equipment manufacturers. So that includes the five sectors of construction, forestry, mining, utility, and of course, agriculture. So it's all of those brands that you'd be familiar with. We represent on a global stage some of the brands like, you know, John Deere, Case, Caterpillar, New Holland, Kubota, and go down the list from the large brands to the small brands, technology companies like Topcon and Trimble, but also the component folks that are making the things that make the machines themselves.
Okay, so we've wrapped up 2023. We've got our numbers in. When you and I talk, we talk about a report that used to be known as the Flash Report, but this gives us a breakdown of combine and tractor sales. You do it for both the U.S. and for Canada, but focusing on the U.S., when we talk about tractor sales, we're not just saying all tractors. We break those down into segments, right?
In fact, it's a smart idea to break them down into segments, because if you think about the uses of tractors, your audience is probably thinking largely about, you know, traditional ag tractors, those tractors that are, you know, planting crops and livestock. But that broad spectrum also includes smaller tractors that might be just, you know, simply, you know, helping a little bit on an acreage. So when we talk about the ag market, it's really important to break it up by segment. Horsepower as the breaking off point. In fact, we go under 40 horsepower tractors, 100 horsepower, and then 100 plus. Now, listeners know that there's a lot of that are well above 100 horsepower, but in terms of volume, actually most of that volume in that smaller under 40 horsepower, or maybe even more of a consumer style tractor.
Well, when we look at how we wrapped up 2023, I'm going to go out on a limb and say our sales were lower in 2023 compared to a year earlier on those smaller tractors. Again, one of the things you and I've talked about over time is how during that pandemic, when people weren't getting out as much, we saw an explosive growth in that segment, especially for the smaller landowners. So when we look at 2023, how will we remember it?
Exactly. You said the story there. It's a mixed bag. All ag tractors, so those over 100 horsepower, are four-wheel drives and combines, actually saw some growth in 2023. Smaller tractors, those under 40 horsepower, 40 to 100 horsepower, those were all declined. In fact, under 40 horsepower was down just a little over 10% year over year. Again, keep in mind, those are coming off of some really solid years in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. A little bit of a hangover there, if you will, on those small tractors. But I'll tell you, I get really optimistic when I see a 30% growth in articulated four-wheel drive tractors in 2023 over 2022. You know, that farmers are all optimistic long-term view of agriculture, because you don't buy articulated four-wheel drive tractor for next year. You buy it for the next 5 to 10 years. So you have to feel good about the long-term viability of your farming operation to make those kinds of investments.
Sometimes I think we forget that the U.S. is part of a North American market with sales in Mexico and then to our neighbors to the North, Canada. I know you watch those numbers pretty close as well. How did Canada wrap up 2023? Is it a similar story?
Almost the exact same story in the U.S. as it was in Canada. The difference is the volumes are quite a little bit less. Did see significant growth, actually 45% growth of articulated four-wheel drive in Canada for the year of 2023. Now, keep in mind, these aren't huge volumes, but that's additional 300 units that were sold this year that weren't sold last year. It's amount to real thing. Same way with combines. Combines were up Canada for the year. Presented about 300 additional units. Which is, again, amounts to a sizable increase in volume for that country.
So 2023, we've closed that out, and it's still too early to I imagine, start predicting what we might see in 2024, because had we been talking in 2020, we would have never known what was coming later that year. So keeping that in mind, 2024, is there some optimism for the industry?
You don't get involved in agriculture if you're not just a little bit optimistic, because we know long term, farmers got to grow the food. It's going to be a market for U.S. agriculture products. I did see a report that came out this morning, just this morning, that corn and soybean volumes were high as we wrap up the 2023 crop. But the demand, the global demand, continues to be strong. We've seen some softness in the commodity prices, and obviously there are weather concerns, and there's global markets, and there's all the other concerns that we have to worry about with agriculture. But I always look forward with optimism. Whether 2024 is predicted to be a flat year or maybe even down just a little bit, long term, it continues to be a strong bet. And that being the case, the capital equipment purchases for that 5-year, 10-year window. So I'd remain optimistic that it's going to continue to be a year for the equipment market moving forward.
Now, one of the challenges that we did see, and don't know how much this kind of factored into it, but one of the challenges was the infrastructure challenge, the issues that we had with being able to get parts and materials in from outside of the U.S. One, was that an issue that also hit the domestic industry? And if so, two, have we come through that?
We operate in the global environment, and whether you're buying a tractor or a refrigerator or a pinball machine, parts are coming from different countries. Seems like we've kind of turned the corner finally on those challenges that we were dealing with the supply chain disruptions. And, they take a while to work themselves through the system. So it's easier for farmer to take delivery on the machines than in previous, months, years. Have some of that pent up demand that's sort of working itself out. So now you're beginning to see those times shortened just a little bit. You're beginning to see a little bit of equipment showing up on dealers' lots. That's a return to normalcy. That also learned some things during the pandemic is planning ahead for your equipment purchases. I would encourage farmers to work closely with their dealer and manufacturer that they're meeting their equipment needs for this year and for the next few years. If they can get that equipment when they want it, take advantage of that technology right in time for harvest, right in time for planting.
Well, speaking of right in time for planting, there's an event coming up in Houston in a few weeks or so. I think maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks, something known as Commodity Classic. And that area along South Texas and the Gulf Coast will be in planting season for corn, sorghum, and cotton won't be far behind that. How important is Commodity Classic for the industry, but also for potential customers?
But for the industry, Commodity Classic is America's, you know, strongest gathering. It is, you know, where technology shows up for row crops. It's where the policymakers and decision makers show up just to see some of that technology. And it is a very important annual event that we look forward to every year. Encourage all of your listeners, if they are within earshot of Houston driving distance or flying distance, booking their flight. The largest Commodity Classic that we've ever had. In fact, it's going to be on two floors, about 20 to 30% larger floor than has been in previous years. Not to mention all of the educational events and the new technology that's going to show up. A lot of fun. I know for your listeners in South Texas, in the middle of some important planting time, that maybe we can couple of hours and see some of that technology in person. And if they're there, stop by and say hi to me, because I'd love to meet all the folks that are there, because it is a great event to see the latest and greatest in agriculture.
You said stop by. If we wanted to stop by and learn more about what's happening with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, can we do that virtually, maybe through the web?
AEM.org is the best place to learn about the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And if you do a quick Google search, you can find Commodity Classic at your fingertips as well.
Yeah, that website for Commodity Classic, simply commodityclassic.com. Kurt Blades is Senior Vice President with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Again, online at AEM.org. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Rich Nelson's with Allendale.
Certainly with corn down about 9 cents, this was a new low for this general downtrend. Soybeans at one point were down 33 cents and change. They rebounded and closed only down 10. So the main discussion for these reports, they gave us some bearish information for corn. Looks like that information is going to stick for soybeans. We still have a little questions about these next few months ahead here, though.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kurt Blades, Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Thank you all for the Herculean effort on behalf of America's farmers.
President Ronald Reagan signing the 1985 Farm Bill, creating the Conservation Reserve Program, which paid farmers to put marginal lands into a long-term conserving use. And yes, CRP still going strong, with some programs giving producers the option of applying at any time, so-called continuous CRP. And Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says USDA is once again accepting offers from producers to enroll in the continuous CRP programs.
And in order to make sure that all of the processes are done in time to start conservation measures on October 1st. People should have their applications fully submitted by July 31st. Gives us the time we need to get everything in the queue.
Under this sign-up, producers can enroll new land into CRP or re-enroll land whose CRP contracts expire this year. For details, contact your local USDA Farm Service Agency office. Gary Crawford, Washington.